to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and you are on Empowered by the Spirit, and I am beyond excited. We're here in the Easter season, the octave of Easter, praising God, and I can now say alleluia without any hesitation. And we're with Katie Hughes, who is an executive with Spirit-Filled Hearts and is the maestro on Spirit-Filled Radio and helping with podcasts and many other things and operations. Welcome back to the show, Katie.
Thank you. Glad to be here. Alleluia.
Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia. Our natural state is to be praising God and to be singing alleluia. I really believe that. You know, in all of heaven, when we're in heaven, we're going to be praising God, singing alleluia. So you better get used to it.
And it's going to be a mass all the time.
And it's going to be that spiritual banquet all the time. Now, this ministry is about, what, 7 years old now, approximately. We continue to expand. We continue to grow. We had the largest St. Joseph Summit in the world, conference in the world, in which we impacted about 45,000 people. We have built a radio network, Spirit-Filled Radio. A podcast network that now is getting as many as 8,000 or more downloads per month. We're doing all these things. And we were involved when working with Andrew Laubacher in particular a few years ago in building young adult ministry. And unfortunately, that did not continue. Andrew had other things he had to do and moved away. But now we're back with another ministry that has developed called Dunamis. And of course, that word, if you didn't know, a Greek word that means power. And we see this in Acts of the Apostles, Acts 1:8, that says, soon you will receive Dunamis, power, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you'll be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. But we have to have the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's start and talk about that. Why is the power of the Holy Spirit essential to live a Christian life?
The power of the Holy Spirit is God's love present to us in our lives, in us and through us. It works through us to do God's will, to carry on the mission of the church that Jesus gave us. We're not to be tepid and lukewarm, and that's why we need the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the love of the Father and the Son is through the Holy Spirit. And it's a gift. Jesus said, I didn't leave you an orphan. And he made that promise to us. He would not abandon us. And he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And they sent the Holy Spirit to guide us through each one of us through our journey. And the power is what activates us to move, to let God work through us. And God wants to do beautiful things for conversion in the church, to convert hearts that are not even aware of the church. And so the power of the Holy Spirit is love, the most powerful thing ever. I won't even say created, because it wasn't created. The Holy Spirit is real in power.
Amen, 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 amen. The power of the Holy Spirit, my brothers, my sisters, is essential to live the purpose-driven life that God wants us to live, because we can't do it on our own power. We can't do it. We need God's supernatural power. Take a look at John 15. So remain in me and I remain in you, the vine and the branches. When we are who are the branches connect to the vine, we have that power. Then the fruit flourishes. So the power of the Holy Spirit is everything in terms of living that life that God wants us to live. Some people that, especially if they're more cultural Catholics, more cultural, may ask the question, how do I know when I have that power? What's that look like?
You know it. It's probably not something cerebral in the head. The Lord can manifest his power in many different ways and through the gifts that he gives us. So when you feel changed and it's for good, it's for God's glory, and you know it, then you know the Holy Spirit's done something. And you also, when you ask for God to do something, if you ask for the Holy Spirit to come, expect him to do it. To the extent that you want the Holy Spirit to do something, to give you the power of the Holy Spirit, that he matches that desire. So he wants to build up our anticipation. If we just sit there and say, well, let God do what he wants to do to me, it's a different relationship you have there with the Holy Spirit. And it's not activating. It's not desiring. It's just, you know, whatever you want, Lord. That's kind of the tepid, lukewarm, which a lot of people have that attitude because either out of fear or they're not that interested, but they feel like they're supposed to say that.
There's a lot of apathy in saying, well, I want one toe in, but not too much, maybe enough to get in into heaven or at least purgatory type thing, but I don't really want to be all in. And that's what we're asking people to be, is all in for their sake, mm-hmm. and certainly to glorify God. But it's the greatest gift you can give yourself is to be all in. Now, take a look, my brothers and sisters, at the 11th chapter of Luke. Starting at verse 9, it says, ask and you will receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open. And then it says, we who are wicked, who know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will the Father in heaven give us the Holy Spirit? And what's the last line of that? For those who ask for it. That's absolutely critical that we understand that. You have to ask for the Holy Spirit. You have to want it.
And mean it.
And mean it. You have your heart. Not just ask for the Holy Spirit to get you something, fix this, fix that, but ask the Holy Spirit to empower you. Remember when the angel Gabriel came to the Blessed Mother? She was empowered by the Spirit, which is the name of our show, Empowered by the Spirit. Everything changes. So I had this little girl and mother come up to me, and Katie's heard this story about 1,000 times, but it's one of my absolute favorite stories, and I think it relates to what we're talking about. My wife and I had prayed over them at SCRC at Anaheim Convention Center, and we prayed over her, rather, and prayed over about 100 children. And the next day, that was on Saturday, and the next day on Sunday, I'm walking in the Anaheim Convention Center to go give a talk, and the mother and the little girl come running up to me, and they're all out of breath. And the mother said, you prayed over my daughter yesterday, and she could barely sleep. She was so excited. I said, oh, okay. And she said, well, she has something to ask you. So she looked at me, and her eyes dilated, and she said, Deacon, did I receive the Holy Spirit at baptism? And, of course, the answer is yes. But then she said, my brothers and sisters, one of the most powerful lines, questions, thoughts I've ever experienced in over 40 years of ministry by roughly a 7-year-old. She looked at me and she said, well, if I receive the Holy Spirit at baptism, why is he hiding? Katie, that is the foundation of everything. We were baptized. We were given the Holy Spirit at baptism. Most of us were sealed by the Holy Spirit, be sealed by the Spirit at confirmation. That wasn't just by accident. It was meant for us to live a different life of empowerment of the power of the Spirit.
Yes, part of our salvation story for each one of us as Christians is that we were dead. And then we were born again in the baptism. And when we were baptized, we received the Holy Spirit and an adoption of the kingdom of God. And so that includes all the treasures. Now, how God divvies that out and for purposes, that's another subject. But we have this access to the Holy Spirit and wants a relationship and partner with us. And this salvation is the rising from the dead. So we are baptized and we We go into the water, we're submerged, and we rise up, and then we are born again. We are resurrected people. We are Easter people. No matter what season it is in the church liturgically, we are Easter people because we have eternal life with Jesus Christ. And his gifting is eternal. Yeah, we just got to ask for it. We just have to recognize who our Father is, our Abba, our Daddy, how much he loves us, how merciful he is us. We don't deserve any of this. He made us worthy through baptism. And what a gift.
Amen, amen, amen. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. It is normal Christianity to have the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through us. What does that look like in terms of our actions, our behaviors, our prayer life? When you have the power of the Holy Spirit, what does that look like?
Well, we're going to see, one, the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So the love, love for God's people, love for yourself, love for God. So love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, wisdom. Is that part of it?
The fruit. Well, that's a gift of the Holy Spirit in Isaiah. But you're talking about the fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, which is really important. Let me break it down in maybe a slightly different way. How's our prayer life change?
Well, when you love God and you're in a relationship with him, you're talking to him and you're listening to him. And that's prayer.
Amen.
Simple. Doesn't have to be anything fancy. What it does have to be is genuine. Like, God knows your heart. You can't fake it. And when you really want him, he moves in you. And you, in relationship with him, how do you get to know him? Mass, the sacraments, the Bible. I mean, it's like you say, Deacon Steve, it's a love letter to us. We can learn about the Father's heart for us and the Jesus' heart and the power of the Holy Spirit in the Bible, Old and New Testament. It's beautiful.
So when you love someone, do you want to be with them?
All the time.
Do you want to be communicating with them?
Yeah, I want to know what they think about me, and I want them to know how I'm feeling and what I think about them.
And you want to tell them how much you love them, and you want to be with them all the time?
Yes.
And do all those things, Lord God, that you do or for all of us. We do all those things in which Jesus is at the center of everything we do because we love him. We want to be with him. We want to serve him. We want to do things that are pleasing to him, do things that together with him. We wake up in the morning and we're thinking about him throughout the day. This is not compartmentalized. Mm-hmm. This is living a life of power in the Spirit means that throughout the day, he's top of mind. Mm-hmm. And that's prayer. Prayer is that you're connected to him. Mm-hmm. You're communicating, but you're also listening to him. When you have the power of the Spirit, how does that work in terms of hearing God and hearing God give you direction as to what to do?
Sure. So if you're new to this or you've been with the Lord a long time, we all have areas to grow in relationship, whether they're a human being or God. So spending time with the Lord is key. And how do we know his heart for us is listening to him. He comes in the quiet. He's not coming really loud at you. And he comes in a voice that's recognizable, unless it's a locution where you might hear, "This is the Father." You know, some people have that kind of experience, like, "Thus saith the Lord." This is, you know, that's different. But normally, when you're hearing God speak to you, it's in a voice you recognize in your imagination and in your mind. It's your own voice. Now, how do you know it's not your thinking or God's thinking? Well, if it's upbuilding, if it's encouraging, and a lot of times it's something you wouldn't normally say, it's something challenging to you, but it's from the Lord. A lot of those times it's the Holy Spirit, like the Lord saying, "You need to go do this. I know you don't want to, but you need to go do it.
Like going to the Philippines three times and going to Indonesia and whatever it is.
Or just talking to family members about something difficult, or talking to someone at the grocery store and blessing them with some loving words from God. Mm-hmm. And God's not going to throw at you ultimate challenge that you're not up for or ready for yet. Right. He may stretch you, which is, okay, we're going to the next level. Okay, I want you to do this. I want you to do this. And as you respond to his promptings through the Holy Spirit speaking to you, as you respond and you activate what he was asking of you to do and ask for the gift of faith to do these things while you're in this relationship. But as you grow, he gives you more and more responsibility. It's kind of like a good father, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then he gives you an allowance or whatever. But, you know, first you start with emptying the dishwasher, and then it's emptying and loading, and then it's, and then maybe it's taking out the trash, and then it's this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. So our good father is so kind to us that he knows what we can handle. And so some people are afraid of the Holy Spirit because they're like, what's the Holy Spirit going to do to me? I'm not ready. Well, I don't think the apostles in the upper room were quite ready for anything. I don't think they were ready for the crucifixion. They weren't ready for any of this. Now, there was special grace with them, and there's special grace with us. Well, we have to understand the Holy Spirit is the power that rose Jesus from the dead. We have that same power of the Holy
Amen.
Spirit.
Amen. I'm getting excited. I'm jumping up and down.
In us, in every baptized person, in the Trinitarian God, you have the power of the Holy Spirit, and you just have to tap in and say, yes, Lord, and show me, Lord, and help me, Lord. Humble yourself. Realize it's not you doing these things. It is God's power, his love working through you.
And of course, our ministry has been very involved for the whole time we've been in ministry here with Spiritful Hearts, around 7 years. But I personally have been involved over 40 years in healing ministry. And what happens is that, as it says in Mark 16:18, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Bottom line is we've seen countless miracles. You can look at expecting experience miracles, overcoming adversity through miracles. I mean, on and on. Go to our website, spiritfulhearts.org, and you can see the many books that we have, the many CDs that we have, DVDs that we have, teaching about the power of the Holy Spirit, because it's everything. The Spirit leads you to Jesus, leads you to a closer relationship, has you so on fire that you want to shout from the rooftops. You know, it changes every aspect of your life, and it changes your priorities.
I've seen a lot of conversion with people, and the main ingredient is the grace, and the Holy Spirit is grace, and it's undeserved. It's unmerited. You did not earn it, just like you didn't earn your last name. Your parents gave it to you. Well, our Lord gave it to you through baptism, that you have this gift. And he wants you to enjoy it, and he wants it to be shared. It's not for you. It's for the church. It really is. He has a mission for our church, and that is for every tongue, every nation, every soul, every person bow to the name and kneel before our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we've got some work to do.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but we've got work to do. And the power of the Holy Spirit is what will help us. On our own, man's way of doing things, it's not going to get done. And I think we're seeing that in the church, the Catholic Church, and outside, whatever Christians may be doing, they need the Holy Spirit to spread the good news.
You can't get there without it. You just can't get there without it. You know, we may try, but we have forces against us. We have evil. We have the culture. We have so many things fighting us that you can't do it with just your own strength. You don't have enough strength, but you have the strength that you need through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, we started talking about a young adult ministry that we had, which was flourishing. Then it wasn't. Now, all of a sudden, people that we know and respect form this group, and they called it Dunamis, which means power in Greek. And you, through God's providence, went on the retreat, mm-hmm. which I thought was interesting because you were supposed to be in Italy. And you turned around from Seattle and came back down, and it gave you the opportunity to go on the retreat. Tell us what the Dunamis retreat was about and future retreats coming.
Yeah, I want to share the backstory, how it, because I think a lot of people are struggling out there, whether they're young adults or not, and they're struggling with their faith, and the world is coming against them, and some people have forgotten that the Lord can help them through it, but you need to ask. And so a lot of people have become going inwards. They're looking to the self to figure it out. And with all the, we'll say, confusion of the world that's from the enemy, and there's so many places we can go with that, we were finding, my friends and I, we were finding that the young adults, you know, 19, after they're in college or after college, they're working, they loved being in the confirmation program that they were in, and they were experiencing God's love, and they were activating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and they loved their faith, and they were going to Mass, and they were, as someone would say, they were on fire. But we can often, if the fire is not fed and sustained by our Eucharistic, sacramental, Holy Spirit life, the fire goes out, and there may be like a little, like the pilot light's on. And so a lot of these young adults that we've connected with, they are hungry, they are hurting, they are confused, they're not going to Mass as much. There's probably some depression going on, isolation. They're not surrounded by holy people that love the Lord. They're in the world, and everyone's afraid to talk about the faith because it's just not something you do in the culture of the world. And so recognizing this, now the group of us, it was Father Ben Tran, Mark Hasselbeck, myself, some other young adults younger than us. So we're kind of older, right? But we want to help, and we want to help them create community because that's what they're missing. And a retreat was formed, and I happened to be invited to the planning meeting and realized, oh, I'm going to be out of town. I'm going to be in Italy, but how I'd love to be at this retreat. And this retreat, Dunamis, was focusing on the power of the Holy Spirit. It was welcoming the Holy Spirit. It was the upper room. It was the idea of Pentecost. This can be a new Pentecost for us. Every day can be a new Pentecost when we say, come Holy Spirit. And so we wanted to help encourage these young adults to come in community on a retreat, get away from the noise in the mountains of Big Bear in California, no cell service. And there was about 30 of them. These 30 young adults from all over, some knew each other, some didn't. Some came from college. So one was from Utah. She flew in just for the retreat and flew back, you know, right after, went back to school. That's how desperate she was. And then we had people come from Phoenix, Arizona, driving out as a group. And then we had Southern California people, Northern California people. They had heard about this retreat and they felt called. And so by the grace of our Lord, they attended, and they all had this excitement and anticipation and wonder of God, like, Lord, do something. It was this desperation. And in different ways, they're just like, do something, fix me, help me, bring me back in. And that hunger was palatable. And it was the fuel that really, it was the gasoline on the pilot light. And for all of them, we can talk more about it, but for all of them, they were touched by the Lord, and the flame is there. And so we recognize the importance of this. And we also know it's a journey and it takes time. And we want to create a ministry under Spirit-Filled Hearts, Dunamis, which first is focusing on young adults, but it's not limited to that. We're just in the beginnings. And so Dunamis is about building community through the power of the Holy Spirit. And how can we do that?
Amen, amen. And it's so important, my brothers and sisters, that we're in community. We are not meant to be alone. I mean, the apostles were all together, and they built communities wherever they went. If you look at Paul's missionary trips, you know, he built communities. We have to be in a community because we need each other. We need each other through thick and thin to support one another, which is so absolutely critical. Now, Dunamis, D-U-N-A-M-I-S, N as in Nancy, D-U-N-A-M as in Mary, I-S, at spiritfilledevents.com. Dunamis, D-U-N-A-M-I-S, at spiritfilledevents.com is absolutely critical to get more information, to find out about our future events, our future retreats. And we're going to talk more about retreats that are coming, events that are coming, and kind of the vision that we have going forward for Dunamis and why we think it's so absolutely critical that in this day and age that we focus on building up our young adults and, of course, eventually the whole body of Christ. This is Deacon Steve Greco, you're on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be right back.
God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running
for... Alleluia.
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 That was not pre-rehearsed. Woo-hoo! I bet you can tell that. We're with Katie Hughes again, executive for Spiritful Hearts Ministry, in charge of our internet radio podcasts and many things. And she also is someone who is part of building a new young adult ministry with various people called Dunamis, D-U-N-A-M-I-S. And it's Dunamis at spiritfilledevents.com to get more information. And prior to the break, you went into the story on how God arranged, as he always does, a perfect situation where you thought you were going to be in Italy. But, you know, due to airline issues, you got marooned in Seattle and we had a phone conversation. I said, God wants you to come back. And you came back and lo and behold, this retreat was happening and you went up to Big Bear. And tell us about the weekend itself and what happened and what exactly happened during each of the days and then kind of the experiences of the people.
Yeah. So the focus was getting back into relationship with the Lord. So the sacraments were important. Opening up with reconciliation and mass were key. And so those things were the central focus because a lot of them that were coming on the retreat had been away. They're lost. They're broken. They're not white as snow right now. And so they came in and we were asking the Lord to flood our hearts, everyone, our hearts with desire for his will. And his will is for us to want the Holy Spirit. It was a gift that he gave us and we have today. And the talks that we had, and there was like free time too, but the talks and subject areas had to do with the Father's love. It had to do with reconciling with God in different ways, his divine love for us, the need for the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, asking for the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and also activating and reflections and testimonies of the life of the apostles and what they did, they can do. And how do I get back into relationship with the Lord and especially with the Holy Spirit that wants to break through the darkness and show us what kind of life he has, an abundant life. Yeah, every person was spoken to differently during the talks. And you could see like transformation through the hearts. And what was really nice was we had small groups within the retreat. And so after the talks, there was times for sharing what was going on. It was a place of vulnerability. Not everybody knew each other. So It was trusting God to be there to minister amongst the conversations. And so we had like older adults being the leaders and as someone to listen, but they were able to listen, and we would pray for one another. What were they struggling with? There's just so much going on. And like I said earlier in the show, there's plenty of things to distract young adults from their relationship with the Lord. And so that was the primary goal, is lighting the fire. And we had asked the Lord to do that. But they were very humble in where they were at. They were honest. And, you know, sometimes they'll go to church, sometimes they won't. They feel alone. They're in college and no one is Catholic around them, and feeling lost. And so they were prodigal children, sons and daughters, and they were on this retreat and they were going through a process of purification and pruning. And it's a good start. Well, man didn't build Rome in one day, and he didn't do creation in one day, though he could. He works with where we're at. And so the Lord really worked with the humility amongst everyone. And there was a lot of charity, God's love and charity, that was flowing in conversations and in the talks. And it was building up. It was all about encouragement. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. And towards the end, on Saturday night, we had Mass and then dinner. And when we all came back, it was time for adoration of the Blessed Sacrament in the monstrance. And that was a high expectation for everyone. A lot of the young adults, when they were in high school, they went through a lot of different catechesis. And one of the retreats that they would often have included adoration, and a lot of hearts were changed during their confirmation lessons during that period of time in high school. And they wanted to go back to that. They wanted to go back to the beginning when they first fell in love with the Lord. And that's what adoration that night, they were expecting God to move. And in different ways, there was convictions of hearts. You know, there's crying, there was laughter, there was joy. There was prayer ministry, and so people were encouraged by what God had to say to them. And it was about also asking. They were asking the Lord to do something in their lives so that they could be empowered. Some of them wanted the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the charismatic gifts of they wanted the gift of praying in tongues, or maybe they hadn't in a long time. And so there was a lot of reactivation of gifts. And then there were people brand new to what the Holy Spirit can do in them. And so they were, to the extent that they wanted, you know, the Lord honored that, the desire.
Hallelujah. You know, it's so.
Yeah, I know the heavens were crying out, hallelujah.
All the angels were there, interceding, praising God. All the people were praising God. We're talking again about Dunamis, Dunamis, and you can get more information at Dunamis at spiritfilledevents.com. Our focus right now is young adults. It will expand, but we all need these things that Katie Hughes just mentioned. We need to have a spiritual metanoia, which is a complete change, a spiritual awakening. And I want to just mention that there are no coincidences. When we are recording this particular show, we went to Mass here at Christ Cathedral in the Diocese of Orange, Garden Grove, California. And what was the homily or the reading? The reading was the Road to Emmaus. The reading was, were our hearts not on fire as Jesus spoke the truth to them and unlocked the scriptures? That's what happens during a retreat. Where your heart's not on fire. Maybe you go there and you feel broken, you feel defeated, but guess what? God wants to renew you and restore you. And like being on that road to Emmaus, when you experience and encounter Jesus, it was interesting listening to one of the leaders, Mark Hasselback, in a meeting that we had with Matthew C. at C's St. Elizabeth Ann Seton in Irvine. Mark kept saying over and over again, you have to have an encounter with Christ, which, of course, Pope Francis has talked about. To have an encounter means that you're opening up your heart trust God. This retreat is about forming community.
It's just the beginning, yes,
yeah,
for community.
Breaking in the small groups, mm-hmm. having accountability for one another, ultimately. It is about purification and pruning, as you mentioned. It is about Holy Spirit transformation. Do you need that? Do we need that?
All the time.
All the time. And the Mass becomes alive. You know, so many people see Mass as a burden, or they don't experience, they go, oh, I got nothing out of it. You got nothing out of it because you didn't really understand what was going on. And you're not connected to Christ in the way that the Mass should come alive for you in what's happening. The consecration, the prayers, the gospel, the readings, the homily, everything should come alive for you. So to have adoration, which is opening one's heart, letting the Lord lead you, to learn how to pray, all of that is part of this Dunamis retreat, which is extremely important. Again, go to Dunamis, D-U-N-A-M-I-S, at spiritualevents.com for more information. So it was incredibly exciting and incredibly powerful and incredibly fruitful. And I know that all the people there and yourself and others who were there felt like, hey, we're on to something here. This is something really important.
Yes. So we came back from the retreat of like almost a month afterwards, and we let them all know that stay in contact. So the small groups have been staying in contact, encouraging one another, sharing what's going on in their lives. And we've been working on one, how is this sustainable, the community? There's a lot of needs, but there's also, it's about having fun, and community is about bringing the Lord into whatever you're doing. He's our friend. And so we could be eating a meal, but the Holy Spirit is part of that meal in conversation. And I hope like Dunamis is inspiring for wherever people are right now, whatever diocese or whatever country they're in, whatever city, because this is something that we know there's a need for, and it's not just here in Southern California. So even if you're from another state, reach out and email us, dunamis@spiritfilledevents.com, to ask what's going on. But I'm going to share with you now, kind of like our focus is 3 to 4 retreats a year. And then in between those are day retreats, evening nights out. It's also as a community going to Mass at parishes within the diocese, and each month it would be at a different, I think you could do it weekly, because we need to encourage one another to go to Mass at least Sunday. They need to be there, like make that a priority. Maybe it's going to add also adoration to a chapel somewhere. So those are some different things that we're doing. We're also having like, you know, praise and worship evenings where we can have adoration, Mass as a group, as a community, meals together, because that's what Jesus did. And that's really what Dunamis is about, is when Jesus showed us how to evangelize. He shared the Father's heart. He shared his love for us, what he wants to do for us, what was coming, that we would have eternal life through him. And so all of these things that Jesus did, he was showing us what our ministry life would be. And he sat with them. He ate with the sinners. He ate with the outcast. He healed. He prayed for people. He saw a Samaritan and didn't see them as an evildoer or someone to reject. He saw them as someone that God loves, his Father loved, and wanted them to know. So Dunamis is about breaking through with the power of the Holy Spirit and transforming the church. And we're starting with young adults because we just saw the church is hemorrhaging, and young adults, they're going elsewhere and they're trying to find a God somewhere outside of the church. And for them not to know the treasure of the Trinitarian God and the power of the Holy Spirit and the sacraments, to understand that's their way to everlasting life, and not to desire that is a crime against humanity, I'll say. because Jesus wants everyone to go to heaven. That's not the case. People reject. And so it is our part, especially starting with these young adults, for them to be in community and to activate the gifts. That's one of the primary things that we want to work on is through the love and compassion of Jesus Christ, he healed. He shared the Father's heart through prophecy. And because we are adopted children and sons and daughters of God, we have access to these gifts. And Dunamis is desiring to help build up the church through those giftings and to transform. Like we see in the Bible, like in the gospel, how Jesus would heal. And it was like he cared most about the whole person, the soul. And that's physical and emotional, spiritual, everything about that person. And he knows how to get our attention. He's asking the guy at the pool of Bethesda, which was basically a pagan place, spiritual place where people come for these angels to heal them and stir up the waters. And he was going there for 38 years, not getting healed and not even having the drive, you know, to push through the crowds, probably because he knew that it didn't have that power. It didn't have God's love. And then Jesus showed him his mercy. He showed him compassion. And that's how he got his attention. Do you want to be healed? And so the Lord's asking us that in relationship with him. Do you want to be healed? And Dunamis wants the healing of God's people and the church. And so we're doing our part. We're doing something we feel called to do, and we want to build up young adults. We're moving out into adults and also families. Children can pray for miracles, for healings. They hear from God probably better than any adult because the purity of their lives. And so the whole church is meant to move in the grace of the Holy Spirit.
Amen, amen, amen. One of the things that we talked about is that we all need encouragement, and we need to have a body, a community of encouragers, that we encourage each other no matter where you are. Jesus there with open arms for you. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up. That's exactly what we need to do. If you want to know what the early Christians did, let's take a look at 2nd chapter of Acts, starting at verse 42. They devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles, which is what Dunamis is teaching, various things, and the communal life, which we're building communities, in the breaking of the bread, which you mentioned already, the prayers. You learn how to pray differently. You learn how to get on fire for Jesus Christ. And then guess what happened? Verse 43, awe came upon everyone, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. All who believed were together and held things in common. So again, what's so important is that we're meant for community. We're meant to have a community of believers to support one another, to build one another up, to pray together, to go to mass together. And young adults right now, most of them don't have it. Most of them don't have a spiritual community. They may have a group of friends, but they don't have a spiritual community. And this is so important. So in the process of building faith, encouragement, getting people to know Jesus Christ, these retreats, say 3 or 4 a year, are going to be happening. And then we're working closely with the Diocese of Orange. Tell us what's going on in July, I believe, correct?
We're working on a retreat in July. The location to be determined, but we have some options, and the diocese has been gracious in offering use of some facilities for some of our meetings. But yes, we have we're looking for July 15th to be our retreat. Nothing is confirmed yet. So I do ask you, before you book your ticket or whatever, if you're flying in, to definitely email me. My name is Katie Hughes, and dunamis@spiritfilledevents.com is where you can email and get in touch with us to find out any updates about anything and be on our email list. And so this is mainly right now for young adults, but if you have inquiry questions, If you live in the area or you're not and want to learn more about what the content of our retreats are like, so you can do something similar where you live with your young adults and communities. It's really the Holy Spirit wants that communal life. The world has said, focus on yourself. And Jesus is like the total opposite. Love your enemies. Love your neighbor. It's not about you. It's about them. And when we die to ourselves, we see that.
Amen. And so these are going to be a series of various events. We talked about retreats, and we can work with you in your city. If you want to have a separate retreat, we can provide structure and guidance and resources for you. But you also mentioned like maybe a day retreat, half day retreat, masses, different types of things. Talk about that.
Yeah. So a family gets together. They worship God together, communities of family. They eat together. They pray together. They read the scriptures together. They talk about God together. And so they bear their hearts to one another. And so that's what we want to create is activities, we can call them that, events where there's the chance for someone to come experience God's love from others and to desire more of the Holy Spirit in their lives so that they too can be a witness and go to the ends of the earth, whatever God's call is for them. And I think the Lord will really bless something when you want to build up his church and you have his heart for his people. And that's the key, is you have a heart for the Lord, his church, and his people, and bring them into that. So we want to focus on different topics. Like when we have a night, an evening talk, it may be on the sacraments. It may be on theology. It might be something to do with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, activating gifts. We want to have a space where people feel comfortable, where they can try and pray for healing, where they can ask God to speak to someone else through them and give a word of encouragement from God. We are vessels where God can use our senses. He gave us an imagination, and it can be used for good. God uses our imagination to show us things. He dreams, right? We talk about that in the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
In the dreams that he speaks to us about things in our life or what he wants to do or how he's moving. And sometimes it's meant for you privately, and sometimes it's meant for the community. And so to open up these gifts and try them out. And, you know, it's kind of like getting a new bike and you're a 5-year-old and it doesn't have training wheels. You may hear yourself and you thought it was God, and so you're inaccurate. That's okay. We praise God because he's there and he enjoys the fact that we're being faithful and doing what he asks. He said that whoever loves me will do greater things. Greater things than he, Jesus Christ. And part of that is many healings. Part of it is prophesying. Part of it is supernatural wonders that God can do when we pray in faith. And so the church is alive, and it's going to be an amazing journey with Dunamis.
Amen, amen, amen. Alleluia, alleluia,
alleluia.
You know, it is about the power of the Holy Spirit, and our ministry, Spirit-Filled Hearts, is about the power of the Holy Spirit. It is about evangelization. It is about not putting your light under a bushel basket. It is about the manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Why is praying for healing so important? Because that is an important part of this retreat too. Learning how to prophesy, learning how to utilize the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Well, first Jesus did it, and it was part of his ministry, and he showed us how. He went to the Father. And so through the power of his Jesus's name, we can ask for healing and with love. So whoever the individual is, it's first understanding their identity, that they are baptized and that they have access to the gifts. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, these things happen because in Jesus' name, anything is possible. And so we learn about who we are. We learn about God's love for us and loving him more and loving his people. And so we enter into a place where we have compassion, like that, the love that Jesus has for a person, his phlegomizomai, which is compassion. It's like this divine compassion. It's what moves a person to act. Like, you can't not pray for this person for healing. That's what Jesus did. He took pity on them. He wept, and then he went to the Father about Lazarus, and he glorified God and showed who God was. That Jesus was the resurrection through raising Lazarus from the dead. So, I mean, that's possible. But well, let's get started with the simple things of how does God speak to us? And what is God's heart for us? We can start there. And what is his heart for others? And you know what? Like, maybe the physical healing doesn't happen, but he still wants us to obediently, out of love, ask for the healing. Because Jesus on that cross gave us new life. He conquered death. He conquered sin. He conquered infirmity. He conquered sickness. And yeah, there's sickness in the world because people continue to sin despite what they have access to in this relationship with God. But he wants us to persevere and ask as children, as little children, Papa, Father, won't you heal him in Jesus' name? Heal this cancer, heal this arm, whatever it may be, even a tummy bug. We had some people like with a stomach ache got healed instantly when someone prayed for them when we were on the retreat. Someone's knees were healed instantly that had two blown out knees from injuries with floating bone. Healed, the pain left. And there's that healing of the emotions and the healing, the spiritual. Jesus cares about all of that. When we talk about praying for healing, it's praying for the whole being. That's the body and soul.
Amen, amen. Again, go to Dunamis, D-U-N-A-M-I-S, Dunamis, D-U-N-A-M-I-S, at spiritfilledevents.com. We believe in miracles. Jesus says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praying for miracles, praying for healing was not meant to be just at the time of Jesus. It is now. There's more miracles, healings happening throughout the world than ever before. And we have to be aware and learn how to pray for healing. And part of this retreat is teaching people how to pray, teaching people how to manifest the gifts of the Holy Spirit, how to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, how to encounter the Holy Spirit. So again, Dunamis, D-U-N-A-M-I-S, at spiritfulevents.com. Register for...
Email us.
Register for a future event, or let us know you're interested and we'll contact you as things are finalized. Katie, thank you for your yes. Thank you for being on the show. And alleluia.
Alleluia.
Alleluia. Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for Dunamis, for what you're doing in the church, what you're doing with young adults. Melt us, mold us, and use us. Fill us with the Holy Spirit and heal us in every way we need to be healed, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. May Almighty God bless you and your loved ones. May be filled with joy. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
This is Deacon Steve Greco. You've been on Powered by the Spirit. We'll be with you next week at the same time.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For more information about Spirit-Filled Hearts, visit our website, spiritfilledhearts.org. That's spiritfilledhearts.org. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We hope you'll tell a friend about our program and ask them to join us next week at this same time. We look forward to being with you again right here next week. Till I am a soul on fire.